Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the invention of the wheel. I want to get into the depths of this a bit more. I think the wheel suffers a bit of a problem because it's so common and it's so easy for people to have a simplistic understanding of it. So it's a wheel is roughly circular, and people tend to focus of the fact that a wheel, if you get a rubbish bin or the old style rubbish bin lids, or a wheel and you just, or a frisbee for the US audience, and you, or a tin lid, and you just roll, or a coin, you can roll it and that wheel will roll. And that myself, that really isn't a wheel, that's a cylinder which is rolling, which could be a wheel, and we call it a wheel because it can be used as a wheel, but what you're doing there has got really nothing to do with wheels. I'm just going up this hill at the moment, so it's just a bit hard to get up. Okay. So I want to get deep into it, and I suppose I'm really aware that the knowledge I have on the invention of the wheel is probably out of date, because I learned it in the 1970s, which is way back when. But I would expect the wheel, like anything, has got multiple, there's a point in time where it's got multiple origins, and the sort of historic origin of the wheel, archaeological origin of a wheel, as we understand it, and we'll get into it, is in pottery. You can see that although we don't have evidence of pictures of wheels and chariots and stuff like that, but we do have ancient pots which have been made on a disc, which is on a bearing. And so, yeah, the disc plus bearing plus load transfer equals a wheel. Disc, what we call a wheel, in unsophisticated way, is not really technically sufficient. You need to have an axis and a bearing for it. And so the earliest evidence of a wheel is in ancient pottery, where they had a potter's wheel. A wheel for transport, I think this has to be true. Was it the Hittites? There was a group in ancient Egypt which spelt the end or the changeover between kingdoms. I'm just going off my deepest, darkest memories here. And the Egyptians didn't get on with the wheel, and they were actually totally overrun by people on chariots with wheels. So I should imagine they might have had horseback and flat plates. And the wheel, the Aborigines didn't have a wheel. The Americas didn't have a wheel. So this was one of the white man with steel wheels. Was it guns, germs, and steel? Okay, well, guns, germs, steel, and wheels. And that's another classic late 70s investigator trying to work out, depoliticize the dominance of different cultures just by having a scientific look at it. Is that person? I've forgotten the name of that person. Okay, so wheels. So they suffer from children's books saying the wheels in the bus go round and round, and so a wheel just goes round and round. But the important thing is that there's several little points to get through. The point of contact of the wheel on the ground is constant, and the wheel is a fixed body in rotation, such that it's rotating at such a rate that the axis travels at the general speed of the body. It's a rotating body, and therefore and it rotates such that the point of contact with the ground is always stationary, but the point of contact at the top of the wheel is actually travelling backwards at twice the velocity of a wheel. So when you integrate it up for all points of the wheel, there's parts of the wheel flying upwards, parts of the wheel flying downwards. The actual net velocity of the wheel is the velocity, overall velocity of the wheel. But the actual point of contact of a wheel with the surface is stationary. That's if it's not skidding. If it is skidding, a wheel is skidding, it's not acting as a wheel, it's acting as a skid, right? And so we're talking about a wheel acting there. The other important aspect of a wheel is you need an axle. Sorry, mate, for that noisy P-plate driver. Okay, you need an axle and you need a bearing system. And what that does is that the force goes up through the disc, through the bearing, which has its side of it, rollers, not wheels. Well, it could have wheels. But to have a wheel, a wheel almost by definition has a bearing with it. So you have rollers, so you have roller bearings. And so, and then the load, you must have the ability of the wheel to be attached to a load. So it should be able to carry a load through it. So it's another aspect to the wheel is looking at the load applied through the bearings, goes down through the wheel. But the... It provides an upward force, but a force pushing the wheel will allow it to rotate through the bearings. And again, this is really the invention of the wheel, is the bearings and on the axis. So the old idea is that you'd have a cylinder in something which was low coefficient of friction, grease the wheels, you grease the axles. The idea of the axle grease, and so you'd be able to trade the friction coefficient of soil and the road that you're going on for a friction coefficient of a cylinder held in a bearing, because that's a simple bearing. But then we come up to roller bearings, which is retaking the ancient idea of how they moved the big blocks in the first place. So what would happen is that this... you have a big block that you're moving across. I think it's limestone they made the pyramids of, but imagine it's that. And what would happen is that they'd place it on top of rods of trees and push it along. They could drag it. I can well imagine dragging, but nonetheless, you'd put sand and other rocks which would roll. And as the rocks fell out the back, you'd pick them up, carry them around the top, and put them in the front again, so you could actually move these objects. So whether they had special gravel to roll things, or trees, which, you know, have this rock to move, and you have a team at the back of your big rock picking it up and bringing it forward, and that is. Put into that concept of having rolling rods which recirculate is the concept of a roller bearing. But those bearings themselves are not wheels, they actually rotate, and you have basically one surface can move with respect to another by the rotation of hard circular bodies. That's your roller bearing. So in all wheels, almost everywhere you have a wheel, if you have a bush bearing, if it's a very small thing like a little toy electric motor, but anything larger has actual ball bearings. It goes right back to the ancient way of moving things before wheels. Just on the conclusion of this, there's the Temple on the Mount, made by, I think, Herod, and they move these huge rocks to expand a mountain, to make an artificial mountain, the Temple on the Mount. And to make these huge rocks, the actual rock themselves, the load itself, formed the axle, and they built, made a huge rock and then built a wheel on either axis or a disc on either axis and rotated it that way. So they've sort of invented yet another way of moving rocks. So let's go back on the wheel. You've got the disc, the non-slip contact with the surface that you're rotating, and then you have a mechanism of getting the load down through into the wheel, but allowing rotation, and that's done by bearing. And the, inside the bearing there are rollers, and you've got the balls, and the surfaces above and below are the are called racers. So all the cars that you can hear are actually running. Well, they're running on the road, but the more spectacular stuff is that they're running on ball bearings, which are running on rails. So a car is a rail, is basically a rail device, and essentially it's basically a car is a rail device, and it's when it's rolling forward, the rolling friction really isn't so much, you know, the rolling friction of a car isn't really, a significant amount of that is the actual mechanical friction of the ball bearings in that race, how you go through it. And there's things to do as the load increases, the ball changes, and you get heating as you compress through different axes the ball and the race and stuff like that. And I suppose the other important thing is that they have to be made of the same material and same hardness. I think that must be a law, because if the way that you scratch something is to have something harder of one material than the other, so it's a way to reduce wear. So we're back to the noisy places. I'm just walking past the pub up here, yeah, that's Peter Hill explaining what a wheel is, and I think we're actually doing a disservice. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't mind kindergarten kids pointing at something and saying, a wheel, yes, it's a wheel. Really, what they are pointing to is the disc, and the actual wheel has a bit of engineering associated with it, and that we should all understand about bearings and process in there. G'day, mate. And then I'll do another podcast coming up on one of my favourite things of all time, ball bearings. You just can't, you know, it's just, this is a miracle of modern engineering, how we can actually make a planet, make all these machines with ball bearings which are accurate to micron accuracy, and are strong and are cheap, and everything in our world is running on these ball bearings. And it's, I suppose it's a sign of Australia that if you take apart something, in olden days you could really go up to any machine shop and they'd have a selection of ball bearings. Now it's micrometer, you have to almost order any ball bearing online, and strangely in Australia it's a lot of the machines are still got imperial ball bearings, except for stuff, and even stuff coming from China. Open it up. Why does it have an imperial ball bearing? Except I think obviously the exercise bike that we had from Aldi, which is a German store, had metric ball bearings. And of course, metric ball bearings are really hard to come by. We'll just go on that, and I'll give a talk about ball bearings. So yeah, for me, when I see a car go past, I, in my mind's eye, are very conscious of the ball bearings and the race going apart, and the fact that you're moving forward by actually travelling on an internal railway system. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.